Blog Talk Radio.
A good story, and I have a special co-host with me, Virginia. Hi, Virginia.
Hello.
I played your music, not mine.
I know,
mine, because I'm tired of my music.
Yesterday.
I'm tired of my music. I know. I have to get new music. I know.
Yeah, I know. You sent me that file. We're getting it uploaded.
I know. Yeah, by the time you put it out, I won't want it anyway. You know, I have to change something. We haven't done a show together in a while that's planned because we help each other out sometimes when, you know, things happen, right?
Right. But we want to let everybody know this isn't the Writing Mama show. This is a good story, even though we use the Writing Mama show music.
Right. It's not. We have a great guest on, but we're going to talk about a few things first, and then we will bring on Denise Zarella. Okay. So, Virginia, how are you? I have not really.
I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good. I mean, you know, it's funny because yesterday everything went really smooth, and then today my little one, well, of course, I guess halfway through the show she came in and interrupted while I was doing the show, but
I heard
that.
Yeah.
Morning sick. Yeah, she's got some stomach bugs, so it's been, you know,
people are sick now. It's fall.
But the hard part is you know, when they're 3 and a half, when they're in that preschool age, they don't understand why everything's coming out of their mouth where things don't usually come out.
Listen, I have news for you. I don't care what age you are. Nobody likes that.
I think it's worse when you're little because you don't understand why.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's see what we got going here. All right, so we have us today, and then Fran does not have a show this week, but we do have a show on Friday night, paranormal show, and Willow will be there with J.H. Glaze, and I think I might join them. And then I have a show next Tuesday with John Augustine and Brenda Perlin and Kim Munch Emerson, and they are all published with Master Coda Select Publishing, and she's coming on too, Kim. So Kim will be on, Kim Munch Emerson, so that should be a good show. And Brenda and John are absolutely great in PRing our show. They are always sharing the links, and so I have to thank them. They really are good at that, very good. So, and they'll be on next Tuesday night. That will be 9 o'clock Eastern. And then after that, let's see, I have, the 19th, I have a really special guest, which is Charlie Matthau, which is Walter Matthau's son, but he's in his own right a publisher, a producer, director, and a writer, and he did Freaky Deaky, which is out on YouTube now. And iTunes, I think. And then he also has a video on that. And Bennett will be on with Bennett Pomeranz. And our Jeffrey, I think, will be joining me on that show. And that should be really fun. And let's see. Oh, yeah. We have Cyber Tuesday on 11/26 before Thanksgiving at 4 Eastern. Bennett will be doing that show with me. And Virginia, I think you're going to do it with me too, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try and make that show.
Yes, and we will have lots of authors, like 30 authors on, just talking for a few minutes, and it's our way of saying, you know, these are Christmas and Hanukkah books that they could buy, and it's before Thanksgiving, because now Thanksgiving, the stores are open, I think, even on Thanksgiving night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things are changing because of the Internet. It's a huge thing, and all the department stores, they want to be on the same wavelength, and they can't be because Internet's 24 hours. Well, of course, they do that, and Macy's here is open 24 hours in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Ours isn't open that late yet.
Yeah, no. 24 hours, and a lot of the stores are following. Last year, they opened at 12 o'clock at night on Friday, but I think they're opening at 8 now. So it's kind of like people are very upset about their Thanksgiving dinners being, you know, cut short because they have to go to work. And
yeah.
if you don't work on those days, they're not real happy with people. So, and you know,
that's
so that's, you know, so, but we'll have a good show on this. So Cyber Tuesday, and that will be at 4 Eastern like this time. And it will be a World of Ink special. Okay, I think pretty much covered all the, oh yeah, I do know, I forgot one thing. Okay, I have a, see, I knew I was going to forget mine, almost. Okay, I'm having a book reveal with Lady Amber, and if anybody has been anywhere, they know that Lady Amber Tours and Lady Amber, they do a lot of different tours, and she's also now, they started a Hallowed Ink Press, and so I'm doing a book reveal where my book, Virginia Templeton Stories, and she's told me she's got like 30 or 35 bloggers out there. So she works really hard, and I would like to tell people out there that we do a lot of launches, and I'd like to start doing a lot more children's launches. Nobody out there is really doing the children's launches. I'd like to do it on the radio. So you can contact me. Marnie McNiff will be doing it, and Virginia will be probably helping out if you have time to do some of these launches, because it's a great way to get your book out. And it's also...
Yeah,
and we're also going to do probably a reveal, too, for books, because I think no matter how many reveals you have of your book, if it's with different people, I think it's great.
Yeah, well, you reach a bigger audience. So I'm going to say, you know, if you're not sure how to track Marcia down, you can always obviously go to the worldofinknetwork.com website, and we have our contact form, so you can just fill out the general contact form, and it will get to Marcia, I promise.
Or Michigan Avenue Media. Right. If you just look me up, Marcia Casper Cook, which is the name I have to use now, because I did it at first as like, okay, I'll put my maiden name in, and then now that's made people know me, but you could go under Marcia Cook, Marcia Casper Cook, and then, you know, with World or Michigan Avenue Media, you'll find us. And so we want to do those because, and we're also trying to do some live show. With our live shows, we'd like to do tweets because I think it's really fun to do a live tweet while we're doing the show. It works out really fun, and you and a lot of people, it's really good exposure for authors. So I think that's a part of our plan, and Marnie will be helping us. And I think those are the things that we plan to do because I will say one thing, that I've tried a lot of different companies these days and seeing who does what, who can help me, if they're assistants, if they're doing teams or street teams or things like that. And I would suggest that, you know, if you can talk to the people and know who they are and try to find out what they really do, because a lot of the things really don't work because they really aren't committed. So usually when Virginia and I have people on shows, we have already tested them and we've tried them because I am, everybody knows, I am an advocate of people that actually work, and so is Virginia, and follow through. Lady Amber has followed through. Kelly Abell, I have had some banners. They follow through for Virginia and I, which I could say for you. And we like people that follow through. And most of the people that I've found lately aren't doing that. So if you have a question, and if you don't want to use us, that's fine, but just you can ask us a question, and we'll tell you if we've heard anything about them, because I really feel badly about people losing money on doing things. And Virginia, I know, do you want to say anything about that? Because I know you do a great tour.
I totally agree. And that's the one thing, you know, yeah, we offer the services that, you know, again, Marcia and I are only, you know, have so many hours in the day between the two of us. So we don't even take on, we couldn't even possibly take on everybody who even contacts us anyways.
Right.
Even if we do, it'd be impossible. So, but we do refer people to those that we have tried ourselves. So definitely contact us if you have questions.
I have not had such great luck. I have to be truth. I have not had really great luck lately. And I don't ever mention anybody's names at all, who they are. But if you call me, I will refer you to somebody that will actually do the job and get it done and talk to you, you know, and make sure that it's right. Both of us are really, we are that way because I really feel it's getting tough out there. And I have been losing... I've lost money this way, and it's not a good thing. So we can help you. If we can't do it, we will find somebody for you that can.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know, reputable and will actually get the job done. Follow through is very tough these days. And you follow through on the book tours. So I myself didn't even want to finish it. I said, do I have to do this many? Virginia said, yes, you know. But you are very thorough. I mean, I was talking about you the other, you are so thorough with the book tours, and I don't actually think people realize how thorough you are. You are unreal. And I've been trying these things, and they are not the same. So,
you know.
That's
also why I'm taking some time off in
right.
November.
It's true. Because you put
yeah,
your
I mean, we have
this.
We have a couple of people that we have finishing up tours in November, but I have no new tours
yeah.
starting in November because I'm like I need time.
Yeah.
Plus I'm doing nano. I'm doing the 50,000 word writing.
You didn't say
one,
you're
so
doing that.
I am. I'm a little over. I think about just under 2,500 words. I think I'm like at 2,480 something. Words right now.
Okay. Well,
so
you're getting there. Oh, that's good.
It's a start, but it's not a great start.
I tried it once, and I was going crazy doing it. I could, because in the middle of doing it, everybody else was emailing me. Because at that time, you know, I was an agent, so everybody's coming back and telling me, asking me questions, and I'm saying, oh, this is not going to be good for me. So it was hard doing all that. I mean, I can write, but not that way. So it's good that you started it. That's good. You didn't say
we'll
anything.
And you're right, because the second I started it, my email started going crazy. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right. Well, now that
off.
You just said it on the air. All right. Let's bring Denise out because, and you've been working with Denise, so do you want to talk for a few seconds and we'll have Denise come out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have Denise Zarella with us, and she has a really great book. Called Not Even the Sky is the Limit. And what is interesting about this book, even though it's classified as a picture book, it's more of a photo book because it's pictures of from little children, and when I say little children, I'm talking like toddlers, on up to all the way to adults doing different things. But they each have Down syndrome. So it's showing basically
there's about different people's development.
So basically, through life, even though you have Down syndrome, these are things that can be accomplished. And
yeah.
I love it because I think sometimes, you know, even those of us who don't have some type of, and I hate the word disability, even though Joel Cassidy gives me a hard time, says it's what it is,
yeah.
just use the word. But,
we all have something. We all have something in this world.
Yeah. And even though you don't have maybe like a physical or a mental type of handicap, you know, we all feel that we can't reach our goals, and that's why I love the book so much, because it even reminds just, you know, those of us who are blessed, you know, to have a really, you know, fulfilled life in front of us to be able to, you know, reach those dreams and challenges. So
That's true. I think, Denise, I didn't tell her this because I didn't want to say it until she was on the show, that I had, you know, I had written a story, which is my book, Love Changes, and there was a Down mm-hmm. syndrome child in there, and I went to work at Glenkirk, which is a place in Illinois where there are a lot of challenged children, and I went to serve lunch there and everything because the mother had some issues she could not handle. Having a child
uh-huh.
that, you know, had a problem. So I went to see what it was like. And it is, I mean, yes, you're right. And I did work for pediatricians for years, but we said, thankfully, everybody, you know, was pretty much, and you know, healthy and happy. And I think that people have to realize that what her book is like is showing people, it's showing from different age levels and girls and boys and, you know, and it just, you can, you know, make it a much better experience than some people do. So, and I think Denise has. So I think I didn't tell her that I had done that, but I do feel that strongly, like what you just said, is that, right, people don't realize how lucky they are, but there also is luck with having a child
that
is challenged.
Are you talking, so this, the mom that you were helping, she didn't,
I wrote the book on the character could not handle having a child. And I wanted to know why she couldn't handle it. So why she could not handle the situation. So I wanted to see what it was like. And, you know, working with children that were challenged. So I could, it was a very hard book for me to write, and the book is out there now. I did change the ending, and I was very much a part of that book when I did it. It was my first, like, book off of my screenplay. It's a very intense, it was very tough for me to get through that. And so the book, you know, that's why I did what I did. So, but I would like to hear, you want to talk about your, you know, story because it's very interesting. So, hi, Denise.
Well, hi. I just, you know, I guess that, it's very disturbing to me that somebody would have a hard time with having a child with disabilities
yeah.
because I really believe, I mean, show me a child that doesn't have challenges. Who,
right.
who that's been a parent hasn't been on a, and you never know what's ahead when you're a parent. And whether you, you know,
that's
whether there's
true.
A diagnosis at birth, I mean, life is a journey. And if we all live long enough or we love enough, we're all going to have challenges, and it's just, you know, there's no perfect child, thankfully.
That's
you know,
right.
I think those are the things that make life beautiful. And
yeah.
Every person that I meet that has had an experience with a child or an adult with Down syndrome, when they talk about that person, their face lights up.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
go, oh, yeah, I know. I've got, you know, my, it could be, you know, my sister has, or, you know, actually one of my good friends, once I found out that we were having a child with Down syndrome, I realized how many people I knew, or maybe I didn't know. I mean, maybe they had told me and I forgot that their sister or brother had a child with Down syndrome. One of my good friends said that I'd forgotten that her brother had a child with Down syndrome, and the stories that they tell about these loved ones, you know, there's
yeah.
you see is if you're talking face-to-face with that person, a smile comes over their face.
Yeah.
And they talk about how special that person is and how much they love unconditionally and enjoy life and in some ways are able to enjoy life more than the rest of us that are so concerned about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and,
right.
you know, comparing ourselves to others and are we making enough money? Are we, you know, all the things that are part of our human condition. But my goal of the book, actually, it was just kind of something I did for myself. I had such a good time writing this book, I really, of course, it's not a very sophisticated, you know, it's a toddler book. It's not, you know, it's not War and Peace or Gone with the Wind, but it's crafted for toddlers, kids that are at the age that my kids were when I put it together and I got the idea for the book. And part of why I did it is I know my kids love picture books. They love pictures of other kids. And
yeah.
one of their favorite books was this book called the ABC for You and Me book. And we got it from the Upside of Down when we got a care package in the mail.
What's it called, the ABC? What was it? What's the book, ABC?
It's called ABC for You and Me, I believe. And this
okay.
was my kids. And when our kids were born, we got, you know how much people love giving books as gifts, and we were
yeah.
just blessed to get, we got so many books, so many wonderful books, but out of all the books that we got, the funny thing is this ABC book is the one that's the most torn and tattered, and it was the one that they took to me all the time.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what the kid's going to like. You just don't know.
Well, and I realized that part of why they loved it was they loved the pictures of the kids, and
right.
every letter had a child with Down syndrome that, like, A is for apple, the child would be holding an apple. Q is for quilt. Actually, we ended up missing that page. It got torn out, but
right.
Q is for quilt was a little girl that was wrapped up in a quilt, you know, laying on a couch and smiling and having fun. And you know, I realized that as I was, you know, reading this, you know, of course, just saying, oh, A is, oh, look at the child in the book, look what they're doing. I realized that this book inspired me. And it was exciting for me. Over time, it was I needed to be looking at that book as much as they did. For me, being a child, a mother of a child with Down syndrome, I found that I connected with other parents mostly about the number one question I would have for other parents was, "What do you do with your kids? What do you guys do together? How do you have fun together?" Because one of my big worries, Jana had a heart condition. So
I was just
going to
ask. Because sometimes Down syndrome children do have some heart conditions too. Yeah.
Yeah. She had heart surgery, open heart surgery at 3 months of age, and
wow.
Which was a you know very traumatic thing to go through. But she was really having a tough time doing anything, meeting any of the milestones that the kids. I have another child named Anthony, who's a year younger than her, and he doesn't. have any disability, and he just, you know, I mean, we didn't even really even have to teach him anything. He's just, we think at three he might be smarter than us, actually, but he just, but I, now I saw, I could compare the development of the two, and yeah. Anthony just, you know, I mean, he was, his the meeting those developmental milestones has been so easy for him. For Gianna, it was so hard, and I just thought, oh God, what are we ever going to be able to do together? And I, so that was something that I guess was must have been on my mind, and I would talk to parents about this. And then one night, Tony and I, my husband, were probably in the garage after the kids had gone to bed, which is a place we found ourselves. We don't really, you know, when you have two small kids, you don't really get to go out much. So after the kids go to bed, we'd sit in, you know, and sit out, and he'd smoke a cigar, and we'd have a glass of wine. And I said, you know, Tony, you're not going to believe the story I heard today about my good friend Eileen's daughter. You know, she says Teresa has posters of Justin Bieber up on her wall. You know, she's on the cheerleading team. She's won medals for swimming. I mean, I can't even believe what Teresa's doing. And there were just different anecdotes that I would get from different parents. And I said, I wish there was a book I could go to where I would see all these stories for myself. And he goes, he looks at me and he goes, well, why don't you do it?
Right.
And I said, well, and Tony and I are can-do kind of people, and we kind of, you know, we like to kind of take an idea and run with it. And I thought, and we're the kind of people also that, you know, it's like no excuses, you know, there's no.
Why don't you talk about also that you also work, and you worked in TV, and you worked in, you know, so people.
Yeah, I write for television, and
right.
So we. You know, so I'm no stranger to writing, you know,
right.
But as you know, that's how the idea came about, and I just ran with it, and I happen to have a lot of resources because I am a reporter. I know people that, you know, take great pictures, and, you know, of course I'm exposed to people who do all sorts of things. The gentleman who did the graphics in the book is our graphics artist at the station. I hired him to do that. And I was lucky that I had very talented
yeah.
people at my fingertips to help me make this happen. And then I have two good friends who published a book with Lisa Umina at Halo Publishing. I hope I said her name right. So Lisa came, highly recommended her and her company. And so when it came time to, you know, kind of cross the finish line, as my one friend said, she was the person that I, you know, I did a little bit of research, but I think I trusted these two people so much that I thought, wow, if they did it through her, then this is definitely the person to go to, and I'm so happy that I did. And Virginia, you've done an excellent job of my virtual tour, and I've just been so, Virginia put this beautiful video together that's on YouTube with my book, and it just brought tears to my eyes. It was so well done, and so everything, Marcia, you were saying about Virginia before you brought me on,
it's true.
Virginia, you're phenomenal, and I was so excited that I was going to
like
be
this is
talking to you today.
It's like this is
becoming
a kudos show for me, and I'm so
because I always send you these thank you messages,
yeah.
And you
she
just
is,
send
she is,
great,
yeah. Oh, believe me, you know what,
job.
Honestly, she lives in Utah, I'm in Chicago, you know, and I have hired different people to do, there is nobody that does a tour like she does. There just isn't. And I've tried. I've seen what people are doing. Nobody. And really, because it's very much with her heart, and she is good. She's very talented. So, you know, that's why she works with Halo a lot, because she is talented.
Yeah, well,
does.
I was just so impressed, and
yeah.
you really did, you delivered on everything, and
yep.
I have to be, when I got these different questionnaires, you know, I was very overwhelmed, but what a journey that was. That was
yeah.
really,
yeah.
that was great to write.
Yeah.
So I realized as I sat down to write, after the kids would go to bed at night, I would, you know, write the answer to these questions, and it was, you know, I really even found out even more about myself and why I did the
book. Right.
It's interesting to develop, you know, when you put words to paper, it just all brings things full circle. And so it's been a great journey, and I love how people have connected with the book, and, Virginia's helped me get the word out about the book, and it's been great.
It should be. Do you want to give your website, too, so they can find your book also? We'll do it at the end, too.
Sure, yeah, well, you can go to halopublishing.com,
mm-hmm.
halo,
mm-hmm.
like the halo that would be on an angel's head, And then you can, you can put in my name as the author, or also Not Even the Sky is the Limit is the name of the book. And you, like you said, it's 30 kids and adults with Down syndrome, and it's a book of empowerment. It's a book that's meant to enlighten. It's a book that's meant to excite little kids. But it's also, it can be a book, for people that are just learning to read, or it can also be a coffee table book.
I think that's a good thing. That could be one. Yes, definitely.
I tell people it's like natural Prozac. I mean, you cannot look at this book and not feel inspired or feel like, you know what, life is great, life is good, and no matter what. I heard you talking a little bit about people with disabilities before you brought me on. And the thing is, I believe, and I can't take credit for this, but I was reading somewhere once, when you really think about it, we all have a disability.
Exactly.
I mean, it may not come under that list of, the doctor, description disabilities, but think about it, people who struggle with depression, people who struggle with, it could be anything. I think that we all have a disability. Some are just more visible than others. For people with Down syndrome, you could see it on their face. There's physical characteristics. There's, unfortunately, there's mental characteristics also. But at the end of the day, I mean, my child's life is just as important as the next person's child's life, and that's part of why I did the book also, because I just think people need to be aware that...
I agree, definitely.
People with Down syndrome are doing things. They're out there. Toby is really, the man who's on the cover, he jumps out of an airplane every year for his birthday.
There's a YouTube... I should have gone back and... My son sent me a YouTube... This was several months ago, where there is a Down syndrome. I think he's in maybe 20 now. I think he opened a restaurant, and I don't know what state it was. But it was such a wonderful – I'll put it out. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was on the network news. Somebody did a piece on it, and it was a beautiful piece.
Wasn't
it very
great?
Well done.
Oh, my God. It was wonderful. Yeah, because he owns a restaurant, and he's so – what he does is he's so friendly to everybody. And, if you walk in a restaurant, most people just, walk in, but he's hugging you, and he's putting you at his table, and he's so nice.
Right.
And, this is what the world – we're missing from the world.
Thank you. Isn't that what the world needs more of? So –
yeah.
So it's like, why, so I get very frustrated when I think, why should we, why be judge, it's kind of, hey, this is just the situation that my daughter's in, but guess what? She has a purpose. There's a reason why she's here. And people should just, they shouldn't be afraid if they,
I think sometimes they are afraid, but sometimes people, honestly, they don't think. And sometimes you have to think, and sometimes, you have to learn about different things, and it's not a bad thing to do is learn about other people, because you can't stay in a shell, and you really should learn. And that's why I'm glad that Virginia has you on, because, told me about you, because the truth is, this is something that's really important.
Oh, it's so important. And that's part of why I wanted, I enjoyed doing, I really did that book for myself. If I didn't sell one copy of the book, I would be fine with it. It was a book I wanted to do, but I loved how people have connected with it, and it's been very successful. But I really feel like when I thought about it, that's part of what I was telling my husband about. I said, I wish there was a book out there that does what mine does. It showcases the abilities of people with Down syndrome, and that's the whole point. And I mean, I really felt like there were some parents actually that said, Denise, thank you for doing this, because there needs to be more out there putting our kids in a positive light. Let's not focus on the negative. Let's focus what we all bring to the table. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that I know out there that don't have disabilities that aren't doing as much with their life as some of the people that I meet that have Down syndrome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, let's be really real. I mean, there's
that is real. That's definitely real.
They sit around and they complain, and life is so hard, and all of this, and meanwhile they've been blessed with health and all of these different things. And the thing that I love about the people that I meet that have Down syndrome is, they don't let their disability get in the way of what they want to do in life.
No.
They don't, they're out there loving and living, and they're capable of a lot of things. And there is a spectrum with Down syndrome. So, certain people with Down syndrome are capable of more than others. But the one girl in the book, I got to tell you this, Wendy, who's the artist, people buy her paintings. She's very talented. She's traveled the world. I had a party for the kids and the adults in my book. And at one, and I was,
oh, that was
each
good.
Child. And each child and adult, it was my book lunch party, and it was specifically for them. And I, and each child and adult that was in the book got a gift copy of the book from me. And Wendy came, and if they wanted more, they came up to my table during the party. And Wendy came up to me, and she pulled out her a checkbook, and she wrote. She goes, well, "How much for? I'd like three more. What should I write this check out for?" I mean,
wow.
And that's how high functioning some people with Down syndrome are.
Oh, they are. Yes, you can't.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely, there are a lot. You know, really, there are. See, that's what the thing is. People don't realize that, and they, you know, and a lot of the children are very lovable. The one, you know,
oh,
so
oh
lovable
God.
And
yet,
sweet. I
just
know,
just like any other child. But yet, you're absolutely
yep.
right. And
sometimes a little more
just,
than other children. Sometimes more. I mean,
oh,
you know,
right?
Because
I've been
through this. You know, but I do think that people don't know enough about this. And when I was writing my book, which is Love Changes, you know, I've changed the name over and over again. I've changed a lot of things about it, but it's still my favorite story. And, you know, I did change the ending because I needed to, because it was just time. But the family learns how to deal. And I made it in reverse, because a lot of times men can't handle certain things. But in this particular book that I wrote, the father was a pediatrician, and he was, you know, he could handle it. His wife could not, and she had a reason why. So I had to figure this out myself, and I had to go. That's when I did that. I just felt like I needed to know more, and I did. And so I learned a lot about this. It is that families, you know, eventually, hopefully, can come to terms and treat the child as just like any other child, because you should.
Well, like I said, you know, parenthood is a journey, and, you know, you could have written that book about maybe a family that finds out that their child, you know, is a lesbian or is gay or a child who's struggling with depression. I mean, look at when Gianna was born, the summer that she was born, Tony's sister came in town to help us with her, and she made a comment to Tony, and she said, "You know what, Tony," she goes, because we're talking about Gianna's disability, and she goes, she's from Nantucket, you know, very wealthy, well-to-do island where, you know, it's, you know, people are very privileged. And she said, and on that particular summer, there had been several teenagers who had committed suicide on that island. And and they were having a big problem with that, with teen suicide. And she said, who is going, you know, kind of, I guess the whole point was, who is happier? Who's going to be happier, Gianna or... I guess I'm referring to the whole journey of parenthood. You don't know what's ahead.
No, and you know, like Virginia and I both know some people. We know a woman that, you know, she's a friend of both of ours that we know, and that her daughter had a serious accident cheerleading, and she has a lot of problems now. She did not have them before, okay? And she fell. And, you know, and there are lots of people that have brain traumatic injuries, and there are lots of things that happen in life that we cannot see that are going
to
happen.
Exactly, right. And we do have to adjust, and you know what, we have to make the best of it. And it's not easy.
Life is not easy anyway. I mean, there are always problems with children. I don't care who the child is. So you have to deal with it as it comes. My grandmother was like 101. I always talk about her a lot, but I do. But the thing is, she always felt like she had passed away now. But the thing is, she had always said, no matter how old your child is, it's your child. It doesn't make a difference.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think people have to realize that. It goes all the way through. Not just they're a child, but they're a child. But even when they're an adult and they have children, they're still your children.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I feel so lucky that I love the book. Tony, my husband, he started crying when he saw the book for the first time, and it's just what's been great. It took a year to do it, and we traveled for my photographer and I traveled for 6 days all over Northeast Ohio, and from the people, different people that we met, we've heard even more stories out there. There's supposedly a girl down in North Carolina or somewhere down there that's a lead singer of a band who has Down syndrome. So to be honest with you, it's something, you know, not in the next year. It was a big project, and there's a lot involved in doing it. But I really feel like I could even expand on this. And I love how people have
probably you should be in a lot of ways because, you know, I think a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, they may see them as children, but then they grow up to adults. and which is what
right.
your book shows. You know what I mean? And there's so many ways you can, you know, that go through this. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think people need, I think a lot of times people just don't want to face anything that's not what they consider just the certain way. And I think people have a lot to learn when they think that way. They need to see the world. And I don't mean,
right.
you know, through, you know, going on a vacation that's to the, you know, in Europe or something. You need to see other people because not everybody's the same. And you can't judge everybody.
No. And so, and that's part of what this is. It should be an educational book also. You know, that's why I think it's great that it's geared towards toddlers, because I think that it teaches children, you know, that we all have differences and that there's people with disabilities. I mean, this is the world, you know.
You know, a lot of times children treat other children a lot better than the parents do. They accept it.
Exactly. Well, a lot of the problems we have is because of the adults, I think.
Right.
If you're looking
exactly.
at people,
exactly.
You know, if you look in this book also, I made sure that there was, you know, there's diversity. I was hoping that if anybody who picked up this book would be able to look at it and relate and to see themselves. And so, but like I said, it can also be an educational tool. And it is meant to open people's minds. And it seems to be doing that so far.
Well, Virginia and I both, Virginia, you could agree with this because I know this. I always talk for Virginia, because the truth is, it's like we do not judge people on our shows. Always, we have lots of different kinds of shows, and you know, I think we're probably one of the only people, I really do think, that really just says, fine, whatever you are, you are. Wouldn't you agree with that, Virginia? I mean, because we've had lots of different shows.
Yeah, I would say that.
Well,
you have a lot of different authors on, and the thing is, you know, everybody brings something different to the table, don't they?
I think it's all
about our life experience. You know, had I not had a daughter with disabilities, you know, I may not have. I've always, as a reporter, I've done stories on people with Down syndrome or disability. I've always been inspired by people that have overcome challenges.
Yeah.
And but had I not had a daughter with Down syndrome, you know, I may not have been, you know, felt that drive to put this out there. But I'll tell you, you know, when you're a parent, it's like that love and the need to do this book, it came, so I couldn't, it was a project I started and I just couldn't stop. It was something I think I was meant to do. And I even feel very spiritual, but I really feel like...
I was just going to say, you should be on one of our spiritual shows, because I hear this all the time, because we have a lot of spiritual shows on, and Willow Cross has a lot on, and Candy O'Donnell's on, she's a psychic, and it's like, we always talk, I'm on a lot of those shows, and the truth is, I mean, you know, it is kind of spiritual type of thing, the journey that we all have, you know, and so, you know, even last week, Virginia, we had on.
Jenny Boyer. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
well,
spiritual.
I really feel like God put this on my heart, to be honest with you. And I really feel like I learned such a powerful lesson while I was doing the book, because I learned that when you want to do something positive, I couldn't believe how many people connected with the idea of the book.
Yeah.
I think I probably, when Tony said, hey, why don't you do it? I think it's a great idea. I probably made 3 phone calls, or I put my feelers out to maybe 3 people that I knew, and all of a sudden my phone lit up. I mean, with moms that were calling me and saying, can my son or daughter be in the book? And I said, oh, my God, I'd be privileged to have them. And there began kind of the journey of the, you know, I remember standing there with my legal pad and I was taking notes about what their son or daughter could do, how old they were, because I wanted to show a diverse group of ages, and I was looking for, and we came across, you know, twins actually that had Down syndrome. I wanted to show a lot of different types of people and people with different backgrounds and age groups, and it all came together so amazingly.
There are people that have 2 and 3 Down syndrome children. They do. They have 2.
Yeah, it's extremely rare, but
it happens. It does happen.
But it does happen. It does happen, and the mother of those boys, she's phenomenal. So I just, you know, I was getting so much inspiration while I was going out and meeting with these parents, and my photographer, actually, David Ushold, was my wedding photographer, believe it or not. I kicked around using one of my photographers from the station, but I really needed someone who did still photography, and we have a few photographers like this, but I also needed someone who I thought would be great with the kids and the family.
Yeah.
But because, when you're, it helped that I was a reporter, a local reporter here, so people knew of me. But people are very protective of their kids, particularly protective of their kids with special needs. So,
That is true. With pictures, too, with pictures. Because when I worked at Glenkirk, they had, like, this cutest thing at the end of the year. They would have prom queen and king, you know, and it was so great. And I would say, why aren't the news media, why aren't they here to see this and put this on the air, how wonderful this is? And so they said a lot of times the parents did not want their children photographed.
But I thought, why can't they show
something so good? These kids are, like, enjoying themselves so much.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what
right.
we could see instead of, you know, people getting killed all the time.
Oh, tell me about it. I mean, don't we need more things that are in, that's why I'm kind of an inspiration junkie, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm always looking for people like the kids in the book. And, you know, so my wedding photographer, part of why I picked him for my wedding was because he doesn't do staged pictures. He always is trying to capture the spirit of somebody. And so I knew he would be perfect for this project. And he said he'd be honored to do it, and if you look at the pictures in the book, he just did a phenomenal job. And then,
because it's so much better when it's not like a pose, I think.
Right. I mean, and all those kids, I mean, all of that is real. All of those kids really enjoy doing all of the activity, and adults enjoy doing the activity that you, and they do it for real. In the book, Not Even the Sky is the Limit, this is all real. I mean, these kids enjoy playing soccer. They're artists. Wendy's the artist. She actually has a quilt shop with her mother here locally in Northeast Ohio. I mean, so none of this is staged. It's all for real, and that's part of what's so incredible about it. So I just was so inspired. I had so much fun traveling for 6 days with my photographer, and then at the very the funny thing about it is, and again, another God thing, I think, is that I was shooting for 30 kids and adults because my friend Lydia Spar, who had published a children's book the year before, she said typically children's books are about, you shoot for about 30 pages. So I said, well, I could do 30 kids and adults. Well, the last minute I had number 30, the 30 child or, I think it was a teenager, he couldn't do it. And I said, well, maybe I was getting kind of nervous how I was going to pay my photographer. And at the last minute, one of the parents, actually the mother of the twins, said, you know what, my friend has a son with Down syndrome, and he jumps out of planes every year for his birthday, or out of a plane every year for his birthday. He's a skydiver. And I go, I couldn't believe it, because at that very time that she made the suggestion, I was kicking around the name for the book, and I was going to name it the I Can Do and You Can Do book, kind of a Dr. Seussie kind of thing. But I was so inspired by the kids and adults that I started toying with, I said, God, you know, the sky isn't even the limit for these kids and adults. And there was number 30, and there it was solidified what the name title of the book would be, and I knew Toby Gingrich would be on the cover of the book. And so it's just incredible how it really all fell together. This was like one of the easiest and most fulfilling things I've ever done. And so when you want to put something out there that's positive and something that is, I think, for the greater good, I think I've really learned that people will bend over backwards to help you. And I'm not saying there aren't challenges, but it was amazing how anything that I worried about ended up working itself out.
I think sometimes how life goes. It does kind of work
isn't
out.
It amazing?
I truly, yeah. Sometimes I think it is. How you can't
because
it doesn't,
well,
yeah.
Because I got to give my photographer I have to give him a lot of credit because I had an idea of what his day rate was. And I wasn't going to worry about it. I wanted this book done right. I wanted the pictures to be just right. I wanted the right person. And I kind of got worried about how I was going to pay him.
Yeah.
And I didn't say this to him at all. But anyway, when we were done shooting, I said, send me the invoices. And David ended up donating basically all of his work. Just 6 days of work. He sent me a bill for the gas, and that was it. But that's another example of when you're trying to do something and people see it and they see this is a great project, it's something I want to be connected with, it's amazing how people helping.
Yeah, I think people don't. I think people need to do more of these type of projects, you know, together. And you know, everything, like I've mentioned, everything cannot be just for the money. You have to sometimes go for the heart. You cannot always do things for the money. It just doesn't work.
I can tell you, you're right, and it's funny how the money. It's true. The money will follow.
Yeah.
I really believe this. You know, I didn't do
and if it doesn't,
money,
it doesn't, because if it doesn't, you've done something you're proud of.
Exactly. Oh, and I'm so proud of this, and and I've had the privilege of doing a lot of really cool things through my career, but this book, I don't know if there are a few things I'm prouder of than this book.
Yeah. See, that's really nice because, you know, unfortunately, we don't hear that. People whine a lot, Virginia, you know this. I mean, they do. They're not that happy when they have a book. And, you know, getting a book completed, regardless of the subject or whatever, and you really are proud of what you did, you go like, this is good. But they don't do that. They're going like, well, I'm not making the money. I'm not getting enough reviews. I'm not getting this. Yeah, Virginia,
And that's what's been fun about being, and I know I've missed part of the conversation. Sorry, guys. My daughter got sick again. That's why I disappeared for a while. If you were trying to talk to me. But a lot of authors, when I've been working at Disney, I mean, you've been very upbeat about, you know, just how everything's been going and just the response in general, where a lot of authors focus on, I need to sell X amount of books.
Yeah.
And it's like, never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you focus like that, then I've come to a conclusion there's two different types of writers. There's writers who are writing to make money, and they tend to be the less, and I'm not saying all of them. You know,
so not all of them, but, you know, right. No, this is not right. It's not everybody.
But the ones that focus on, I'm going to write to make money, and therefore I'm going to, you know, I need to sell X amount of books, and are very driven that way, most of them seem to be very negative, and I tend to not surround myself around those people. Because unless they're successful, they're not happy. And I find the ones that write like you do, because it is just, you felt driven to do it, and everything else is just a bonus.
I agree. I think that, because you're really happy that you did this book. And so this is really a good thing, which makes people happy.
I'm elated. And I feel like I left something for my kids. If I can, and when you have a child with disabilities, I feel like my new focus in life has been to try to, you want to leave this world a better place because you want to leave a better place for your kids. And I feel like if people are more open-minded and more accepting about people with differences and disabilities, it can only be good for the rest of us.
I think you're entirely right. You are. But I think what you said before is people don't get it. They don't get that a lot of times. And sometimes they don't ever get it. Sometimes something happens in their life where they go, you know, like the light goes on. But, you know, it's like, you know, I did work for doctors for years, and I've seen lots of things. So, I mean, I know how lucky people are when their child, you know, even if they have a disability or a challenge, because it can be a lot worse. I mean, and that people don't get that. You know,
right.
And the thing is that, life, it can be tough. And as you said before, we really know what's going to happen. I mean, people have accidents, people have things, and, you know, you have to be prepared for things in life and just go with the punches, because if you don't, you're not that happy of a person, I think, you know.
Right. I mean, you got to go with it. I mean, I'm older, too. I mean, at 41, I really feel like, I mean, hopefully you start to get it, you know, at 40. And, you know, and I just, I feel so fortunate. And
sometimes it's not an age thing. Some people never get it.
I
know. You know?
Yeah, that's true, too, you know. But,
your grandma on that one.
But we just, you know, I love this book, and I still look at it, and I just,
so you will go further
than
you're thinking of doing something else. You're thinking of doing something else.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd like to do more books. Like, I really do believe. I don't think there's a lot of books out there like it. You know, I mean, I think it's a different concept. It is very simple. I've actually had a few people that were surprised that there was no storyline to my book. I had a few people.
There is a story.
That
there definitely is a storyline to your book.
Well, there's a story. Well, there's
a huge storyline in your book.
Well, but you know what, Denise? I was going to say I've only seen one other book, and I mean, and it didn't address, you know, like Down syndrome or autism or anything along those lines. But it was called Beach Babies is what it was called, and it was
just
a bunch of babies, different ethnicities, and different, and not just in the summertime. There was them bundled up out on the beach in the winter, and I'm talking from like West Coast, East Coast, from the north part of the coast to the south part of the coast. So you got to see all the different beaches around the United States of these kids in the different climates. And I was actually sent this book for a review. This was a couple of years ago. When I first saw it, I was like, well, this is kind of interesting, because I thought the same thing. You know, I was waiting for it to have a story and to review it. And my now 3.5-year-old picked it up, and she loved the book because she had fun looking at the different babies doing different things on the beach at different seasons and different, you know, locations.
Right.
And we could just talk about the pictures forever.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's a good thing, you know, because people don't realize, like Virginia and I, we've done a lot of shows for the last 4 years almost, and so I feel like I have met people from all different areas of the United States, and even Europe. We've had a lot of internationals, so we've met so many, and there's a lot of differences in us. And you know, this is such a great thing, because I've met people I never would have met, ever, because you just can't go to every city. And, you know, and that's the thing. We are different, but different and alike in a lot of ways. So, you know, and I think that people need to meet people from all over. I think this is one of the best things I've done in my life, is have the radio shows, because I feel like I have met people I never, Virginia and I would never, how would we meet? Virginia's in Utah, I'm in Chicago, you know, and we've met lots of people, and you don't, unless you do these kind of things, you don't meet people. Well, you meet people with your job.
I do, but not internet, you know, you're exposed to way more people because of technology, and I'm mainly meeting a lot of, people that are here locally, but I've moved around as a reporter also, but you're right, and people are, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of ties that bind us, there's a lot of common threads, but there are different, a lot of differences too, and I think it's important for us to be tolerant and to be open-minded and to not judge a book by its cover.
Right.
And that's part of what the point of this book is. It's, you know, don't just see someone with a disability and think, I actually had someone say to me once, I'm so sorry for what happened to you. And I said, wait a second. I said, no. I said, you don't understand. I said, this is, you know, Gianna, it really is. When you think of, she is just a gift, and she is, that's not saying that it isn't hard, you know, it can be challenging to have a child with disabilities, but the blessings and the joy and the fun we've had with her, and she's a phenomenal human being, and we are just, we can't imagine our lives without her. And people,
and I would say there's challenges with every child. There are challenges, and there are challenges that we don't even know we'll have with our children. You know, you just have them. I mean, and, you know, and some are pretty, I'm not talking about, you know, people having an illness. I mean, like you were saying, suicide and things like that, those are so intense. And, you know, naturally, if you look at the world, there's so much happening that is so sad for children.
Right, you know? Exactly. So we all have to be, you know, I think that we all just have to kind of, again, be open-minded, non-judgmental, and part of what I love about a picture really does tell so many words. And I just think that when you look at this book, and no one can deny, you know, you show them the pictures in this book, and it's like, look, this is what our kids are doing. You know,
because they're not posing pictures. You know, it's very different, a posed picture.
These are action shots, this is really a book of empowerment, and these kids really are showing you what they can do. And so the book's great because I can give it to different people, adults, or, you know, even people that are expecting a child.
This is a book
Down
for
syndrome.
Everyone. This is for everyone.
I know when I got your book, Denise, because, again, my 3-year-old, you know, now she was then 3, of course, obviously when this book came out. When your book came out, and she climbed on my lap, and she had fun looking at all the different things going on in the book, and again, talking about. And what's great about that is, you know, and it's probably what you've learned with your daughter is, and trust me, my 3-year-old, she's a child. I sometimes wonder if she's bipolar, because she's either up or she's down. She's just, there's no in between with her. I learned to look at, because I think sometimes we get so used to what is supposed to be the status quo or what's considered the norm, what's labeled the norm,
yeah,
and all those labels. And
right.
Sorry, there's my dog barking.
That's okay.
That you know, when you have a three-year-old or you have a child, you know, with Down syndrome, or because we actually have a friend who has a child with Down syndrome, and we have a friend who has a child with autism. And
mm-hmm.
I find when I'm around both the families, I see,
mm-hmm.
you know, each one of those kids shows me life in a whole new perspective.
Yes.
And I find I have a greater appreciation for my world because of that than if I was walking around with my three normal children that don't have, you know, except for my three, I guess I don't really consider her too normal. And, you know, and listen to the status quo and the norm, I think I would be missing out on so many more things if I didn't have those other two families in my life.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Everybody brings something to the table, don't they? In life, everybody brings something, and everybody, you know, we're all, and that's the great thing about everybody.
About life, and you don't know every answer, and that's another good thing about life is that you can't plan anything to be one particular way because life does happen in between. So kind of live your life, and whatever happens, and you go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you're
mm-hmm.
not happy. You won't. You don't know.
And you never know what you may end up doing. I mean, when I gave birth to Gianna, I never knew that I would be, you know, here I am, putting out a children's book. I mean, I never thought that.
Yeah,
you
don't know, right? But isn't that the fun of life? That's kind of like the fun, you know, the things that you do that you don't know.
You know, as a journalist, I've always envisioned myself writing a book like The World According to Garp or something like that. You know, like an adult book, I guess is what I'm saying, mm-hmm. like a novel. You know, I never aspired to write a children's book, but just because, I'm an older mom too, but it never occurred to me. And then, you know, here you find yourself having kids and, you know, seeing the world in a different way, and all of a sudden you're completely changed, and your goals and what's important to you is you're transformed. And here I am sitting here, and, you know, I'm an author, and it's so exciting, and I've had a chance now to talk to people like you. This book has opened so many doors, and it's just been incredible.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, certainly Virginia and I, with all the shows that we've had, we have said that many times. It's very different when you meet all different types of people. Their books are different. And, you know, I have had a lot of people on my shows. You know, I've had people that write very intense erotic, and I'm saying, well, you know, people go, you know, they're talking about them. But, you know, they have kids. They're regular moms. They have PTA. I had one show that all the moms were erotic writers, and they all had different names. I was going crazy. I was calling them one name and another. But, you know, they're all PTA moms, and they do everything else that everybody else does, but they just were writing that way. And, you know, so now it's a big thing, but 3 years ago it wasn't when I had them on, and it was just so much fun because I used to like to have them on because they were so happy they had their book out, and they were just having a good time, and they weren't whining, and it was just, you know, and then people are saying things about them, but the truth is they're mothers with a PTA, so it doesn't make a difference.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that story.
Oh, my shows are. I have had quite a few.
Yeah, Marcia gets some interesting, I mean, she gets some really interesting guests on her show.
Because we never know what's going to happen on my show, and I don't care because whoever shows up, they show up sometimes.
Well,
they don't.
You know what? I got to tell you, this is, again, another part of publishing this book has opened up a whole new world of things I wasn't aware of, and now I'll have to listen to your show. I mean,
okay, good. Virginia and
I
are planning on doing other things for, you know, people with books, too. We'd like to figure out some new things that, you know, people can do to get the books out more, mm-hmm. you know, in the right way, because children's books have a hard time getting out there.
Yeah,
it's a tough
do
they?
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's tough. It can be very tough.
Well, isn't it a tough
market? I've written
overall,
four of them.
I've written four.
Yeah, Virginia has one.
Children's books, except for middle grade and YA, of course, because there's been a lot of crossover. But anything that's like a chapter book to a picture book or a concept book, books. I don't even think people market concept books. They just hope they stumble across them. It's pretty difficult. And even picture books are starting to get that way where not too many people are even promoting their picture books because they just figure hopefully somebody will stumble across it and just keep, you know, as many.
No, we're
going to
do that because we plan on putting on World of Ink a page for, you know, authors that have children's books, because I've seen over the last 4 years so many people that had good books, they disappeared. They're gone with children's books because, you know, the thriller mystery that came out. But, you know, everybody seems to forget people that write thriller mysteries, whatever they write, they have children, horror. They have children, you know. So I think that we're going to start doing that more because Virginia used to do the magazine and she's not doing it now. So we're going to probably do some more with children's books.
Well, and that's the one thing that the magazine, which is, you know, I know Marcia and I, you and I are still talking about, but with the Old Stories for Children magazine website, is to make it a place for children's authors, for people to go as like a resource.
Yeah.
Because I used to do interviews there, and I was going to the interviews are reopening up. So I know like one of the interview things I sent you was for them, and that's because eventually I will have that back. So instead of stories children, because it used to be like where people submitted short stories, articles, poems, and kind of stuff like a highlights magazine. Now it's going to be online, but it's a place where people can read.
You had a wonderful you did. It was really good, the children's magazine. It was a lot of work though because it was it was really good.
Yeah,
it was good.
It's going to be more like an online writer's digest for children's writers. Is what's going to convert into a resource for book, because there's a lot
because we want to do more of that, because I see so many people that are gone now and I'd like to see some of them come back with their books, you know. If you give me send me your email, I think Virginia has it. If you give me your email, I'll send you. Do you use an iPad or Nook or those things? Do you use those for books for the kids?
You know what? My son likes the iPad. I'm kind of traditional, I guess, when it comes to books. I mean,
The children. I asked my friends that the other night. They like the children like to hold the books. I mean, I'll get your address. I'll send you some of my books. But you know, and I think that you know we're trying to do this now to get you know people back into the children's market because it's a shame because a lot of people were so good, you know. Yeah, so Virginia, I think we probably will do that with your, you know, with that website, you know, and the Facebook page. We should do that because, you know, it's really good. And, you know, and we'll put your book out more, you know, we do a lot of PR on this show. It should be out there.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you, ladies. This has been a really nice conversation.
It's been great having you on, and I hope we keep in touch. And will. And then, if I have a children's show, we'll put you on. If we do children's shows, we'll let you know, and we'll put you
great.
On. You know, because we are thinking about that.
Please have me back. We
definitely will. Another thing, Bridget, every time I say I'm doing one thing less, but I do feel bad about that, the children's. I really do.
Yeah.
That's, you know, because as authors of, you know, children's books and authors of other books, it's still children's books need to be out there, and there's not a lot of avenues. They don't have people at libraries as much as they did before, or Barnes & Noble. They don't really have a lot of children's authors. You know, and so I hope they change someday to do that again.
Well, I know from, like, out here in my school district, they have the reading library where the kids do the take-home book every day. Or it depends on how long the book is. Sometimes they have it for a few days if it's like, you know, a middle grade book to read. But I know out here in my school district, it's been the reason why they started that is because kids just it's so weird because I hear that more kids are reading, but I think to some degree there's more kids are reading in the older grades because there's such a big drive with the middle grade and young adult books. But elementary kids, elementary school age kids aren't reading. That's down. And it's parents are like, oh, but kids are reading. More kids are reading. When they talk about more kids are reading, they need to be very clear. Yes, more kids are reading in junior high and high school than there used to be. But in elementary school, at least out here in Utah, I know the numbers are down.
Yeah, because I had dinner with my friends. We were all talking about this, and one of them was a teacher, and she's talking. And it's true, because the parents aren't sitting down and reading with the kids as much, and they're not developing as good reading skills at a young age.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And, you know, and your book is wonderful for all ages because it doesn't matter how they're reading. They're just looking.
Well,
it's
neat.
Just for fun, you know, to just you can have fun with it, and you can, again, it's great for a lot of different age levels, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I said, new readers, kids that are just learning how to read, it's perfect for them, too.
And sometimes a lot of parents, they push their children to read a higher level when they really should start at a certain level, not and let them get up by themselves. But they think the child should be reading.
We actually talked about that. I talked about that when I was out at the St. George Book Festival when I was at the library speaking. I was speaking about how the importance of picture books. And that was the one thing I liked about your book, Denise, is because my middle daughter, who's 8 and a half, she has her cognitive skills. I don't want to say they're lacking, but she struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And with your book, because it's not just a story, we can talk about beginning, middle, end. You know, talk about, you know, you start off at this stage and you end up as an adult. We can talk about, you know, what's happening in this picture and build her comprehension. I mean, there's a lot that you can do with those. And I think that's the other thing, too. A lot of parents skip the concept books, which is where I put your book kind of between, like, a concept book and a picture book. Like, parents skip even that. You know, parents are skipping picture books, but they even are skipping that earlier stage. And it's like, that's how where kids start to learn, like, shapes and colors and
and
concept. And they're losing that. And it's like, and that's when their brain is so absorbent to learning things. And it's like,
I think they push them so far above that they need to go. They still have to be children.
Right.
And they don't.
Right.
And they push
and
them.
Your
you're right.
Shows that we can be kids all the way into our adult life, and that's a good thing.
That's right. It's a very good thing. I believe in that. That's why I like when there's no posing. I am a person that does not like to take pictures. My father took, like, millions of pictures when I was little, and I never liked pictures. And I tried to get pictures for the, you know, because of my books and whatever. And I had people, and they're going, like, why are you not smiling, whatever. I go, I can't stand this. So I stayed home one day, and I took, like, on my computer about 100 of my own pictures. I did. I couldn't sit for anybody. So then I'm trying to do poses and whatever because I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of person to just sit there and just smile. That's just not. But when I'm in action, I feel okay. So I like took my own. They go, who did that? I go, I did it. Because they would say, like, what's wrong with you? You can't take a picture. I go, no, I can't because I just don't. I can't stand there and pose. I just hate it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people do.
Well,
go, why,
you know,
does, why does this one take a bad picture? Because they're standing there posing. It's very tough to pose.
You do something that you love, or think of something else. And
my husband was hysterical. He's
pictures.
Laughing because I told him I said, you know, what did you do? I said, well, I was taking like 100 pictures of me, trying to get one that I would say like, okay, fine, you can put out there. And I figured, as long as I'm not just standing there. Yeah, well, kids are the same. Sometimes they don't like pictures.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You're right. So and that's why we were able to, I think, capture so many great pictures. There's so many great pictures, actually. And my photographer actually took a lot of pictures of the kids then afterwards. If we were with a parent or with a sibling, he would start taking pictures of them all together, too. And that was actually an idea that I thought I might further with another book, kind of including the families, because you know, they're a big part of this, too, but that's, you know, off in the distance. But there were some beautiful pictures that later came out after the pictures of the kids that you see in the book. So,
you could probably do a collage yourself with that kind of, with the pictures. So you
We have so many great ones. It was actually hard to really pick, you know.
But even for yourself,
so
I once did something like that, and I was so happy I did that because I had snapshots of a lot of people, and then I put them all together in, like, a picture, and then I framed it. And it's, like, reminding me of everybody in my family. So it sometimes, you know. Yeah, sometimes you do things like that, you know, especially a person
like
me that does.
If you go online, actually, I saw something wonderful. Now, you can actually create incredible things on Snapfish and different things like that with your pictures, like a wall mural and – so you could really go all out with that if you wanted to.
I know. I get involved in these like projects, and then this is what I'm not supposed to be doing because I'm supposed to be writing, and I am writing. And then I got involved the other day, found some of my father's old pictures, and I'm showing them to my friends because some of their parents were gone or whatever because he took these little slides and things, and we're looking at the light. And I'm thinking, like, dude, I'm supposed to be getting dressed, and I'm sitting there doing this. you know, because, you know, yeah, I find little projects, which is not a good, that's why I'm up until 3-4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, this is a really good show. You're, you know, it's you're very inspirational, and, you know,
oh,
it's really nice
you so
having
much.
You on, and, you know, and I wish you success with this book, and, you know, we'll get you out there as best we can, because we, you know, I think it's a, something that should be out there. So thank you so much.
You're both wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Good.
We'll remember you.
We'll have you on because we are going to do some
great
things. All right. So thank you again. All right. And Virginia?
Thank you.
I hope your daughter feels better.
Yeah, she. I felt bad because I missed, I think, like 10, 15 minutes of the show because she got sick again.
Okay.
And,
you know, Mackie, I'll just and, talk. We didn't know.
Yeah, now she's passed out.
I know. It's horrible. It's horrible to have that. All right. So, all right, I hope she feels better and nobody else in your family gets it. That's the tough part.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. I'm like, the last thing you guys all need me by is to get sick, right, Marge? And I disappear off the map.
Yeah, right. No, that.
All right, so we only have one other show this week again, right?
Yeah, Willow and Jeff will be on, yeah, at 10
on Friday
o'clock
for
Eastern.
The paranormal.
We made it 10 o'clock because of, it's good to be 10 o'clock because then all the little kitties are sleeping and the parents can come out and listen to the radio. It's hard otherwise.
Yeah.
It's hard at night, you know.
Yeah, and if you're really into the supernatural, that is definitely the show to listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. Very,
I know,
because
I'm into that genre, and so I listen to that show.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's an interesting show.
It is interesting. You know, paranormal's huge now. It's huge.
Oh, I have at my house, you know, those, well, now, of course, there's the Discovery Channel, but this is before everybody had cable and satellite TV, and so not everybody had the Discovery Channel, but Discovery Channel puts, I'm sure they still put them out, but they put out, like, these little book collections on different things. Mm-hmm. And I have one on all the haunted houses throughout the United States. I have all the different, like, weird travel places in the U.S. that you can go to that suppose, like, roads that, you know, like, when you get to, like, a certain part on the road, your car will just die. You have to push
wow.
it, like, so many feet before you can restart your car.
Yeah,
good. It's I have a few different collections on stuff like that. That's, like, how into, like, that kind of stuff I am.
Yeah, well, I'm in Chicago. It could be tough. That's not a good thing to be like left out there.
Yeah,
in the
no,
road.
I
you know,
agree.
Yeah,
but,
you know, but you
know,
people, listen, the paranormal—they're interesting, very interesting. And Willow
yeah.
has so many good books out like that. Willow, and you know, mm-hmm. and we're gonna have, you know, we're mixing everybody up now, which is a good thing. You know,
yeah.
on the World of Team, yeah, we, you know, our page too. You know, people want to come on our page, and if they just come into the Team World of Ink, it's like a street team for, you know, World of Ink of a lot of the people that are really, you know, interesting, and they share other people's things. So that's been working out good because people are sharing.
Right, and of
so
course
we're always doing new
world.
Things, right? All right. So anyway, all right. Everybody, have a good night. See, I don't have a show tonight. This is my show.
Yeah. Yes,
I can watch The Voice. I'll watch The Voice.
Get the rest of your night.
I watched The Voice. Yeah, I saw Cher. Did you see that? That was a good show with
no,
Cher.
I have been
stars.
So busy between writing,
I know.
The tours, and doing some editing work, because I am doing a little bit of editing again for Halo Publishing, that I literally have my Sunday where my husband laughs, because I wake up and I sleep in on Sunday. I get up about noon. And then he takes care of the kids because that's my one
well,
that's
day
good. To veg and catch up on all my shows for the whole week.
Yeah, because my husband likes the fact when I go, it's Saturday night, you know, it's like I could stay up really late. I'm kind of like I'm 10 years old, like I could stay up really late because I didn't do anything. And really late, I didn't go to bed until almost 3:30 last night, so really late.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we made the show at 10. It's not that late for people in the East because
yeah.
people, they're up all the time. A lot of writers are
sleep?
Up.
What sleep?
I know. You know, you get like 2 hours, I think.
No, I get anywhere from 4 to 5.
That's right. That's my usual.
And my husband falls over when I sleep 8. He's like, see, you finally got a good night's sleep. I'm like, what are you talking about? I slept in.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what 8 hours is. You know, because it's true. 4 hours isn't, you know, it's like, you know, it isn't great 4 hours, but it's just what you get used to.
I
just have a lot to do.
Yeah, I'm 8 hours.
I'm writing. Yeah, I'm writing too, so. You didn't tell me you're doing the nano. You probably didn't want to tell
I
me.
Am. I'm doing nano. I am doing nano. And if anybody
yep.
wants to follow me on what I'm doing, it's my whole, I think I did it under my whole name, Virginia S. Grenier, I believe, on the nano side if you're doing it. And then if you're not doing Nano, but you want to just kind of see how my progress is, you can go to writingmama.blogspot.com. Yeah, and it has my word count. And I'm going to try. We'll see how good I am. On Fridays, I'm going to do my updates. Well, I don't know if I'll do it on Fridays because I do my interview Friday. So I may do it Thursday. Anyways, update on the week, how I've been doing. And I may share a scene of my writing.
You should.
As I go along. So we'll see how it goes. And, of course, you can follow me on Facebook at my on my author page on Facebook.
Yeah. No, it is, yeah, I'm writing my Prince Charming, but it's going to be actually Leo and Gracie is what I wanted, not what the screenplay was called. So it should be fun. You know, I am writing too.
Yeah, well,
the
book that I'm doing for Nano is, which I know you've heard me talk about forever, Marcia, it's the one that's based off my one of my best friends who was murdered during my junior year of high school. So I'm finally sitting down and typing it out.
That's good. Well, yeah, that's the only way to do it. You got to just do it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You can't just say you're going to do it. That's why people, you know, when we say a book is finished, it's wonderful when books are finished.
Right. Well, and this one, it's a paranormal fiction. I mean, it's a paranormal romance for teens is what it is. And it is fiction. The book is 90% fiction, but 10% of it is actual truth.
It's called
I didn't even say it's based on. I actually put inspired by. Because it's about 10% of it. I won't say what scenes they are, but there are some scenes that were the actual scenes that are still, I mean, that are literally like laser printed into my brain, into my memory. That I mean, literally, when I focus back on them.
No, I think that will be a good book, and I think I'm glad you're starting it. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. So it's inspired on true events because the way my friend dies isn't how she really died.
When I'm interviewing you.
and the paranormal part, no, my friend did not speak to me beyond the grave, but so.
Well, then she could be in one of Fran Lewis's books because that's what Fran's in. Spiritual, all of this is very popular now, and the paranormal is hugely popular. It really is.
But my friend dying, the person who killed her,
that's
all of that
thing.
Part,
yeah,
that's all true. That's all
and
true.
And it's very bad. The truth is it's very bad at a young age for that to happen.
Yeah, it is.
It does stay with you, and I think maybe for you it'll be therapeutic in a lot of ways.
It is because she was murdered. I mean, my friend was murdered.
Bad.
You know, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't, she was partying, got in a car accident or anything. I mean, she was literally murdered. She was gunned down. And I changed that. I don't have her being killed by a gun. She's actually being killed by a knife.
Well, because
I had to make it a little bit more for the
you know, the kids now, it's very scary for teens right now. So,
Right. Well, and the gun down thing, it's more impersonal. I needed it for the story to work. I changed it from the gun to a knife because that is a more personal type of kill.
Yeah.
I watch all that Dateline ID stuff. It's really horrible.
Life is like fiction. You know, I mean, that's why sometimes you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, but it
in
is.
Life
but
and
it
fiction.
Is inspired, but it is inspired by true events, and everything the main character goes through, everything that character.
But I'm glad you're writing it. This is good.
Yeah, it's literally. I mean. The main character, her name's Kayla, and she is literally the embodiment of me as a junior in high school. Everything she says, does, speaks, feels is exactly who I was back then.
Well, we are who we are.
I am literally putting myself rawly out there in this book.
Yeah, well, you do that mostly
hard.
Every show. You do that a lot. You haven't done that lately on the show. But you haven't done that lately.
Wait, I do that a lot? Okay, well, now it's going to be in print, so people can read it
over and over again,
which is worse.
I know. So we should be doing shows again together.
Yes.
We will do more. As soon as you're done with your
tour. We're talking about bringing back the Stories for Children show on Mondays. Like, there's the dog again. Every other Monday. But changing it where we're going to have, not just one guest talking about the book, but the stories, but groups.
My style.
So,
my style.
Yeah, well, And it won't be just talking about books. Like someone's individual book will be talking more about why reading is important for kids or the craft writing. Different topics that revolve around
things that we haven't done. Right. I miss it, and I do miss it. I have to admit that I miss going to the school, so I think I will be doing that. I put my books on the Kindle program, and I will be offering them free for 1 or 2 days because I decided to do that with my kids' books. I haven't done anything with them because I think it's important, though, and I miss it. I do. I miss it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a good thing. We'll start that up. All right. So I hope everybody's well and feel good. And Friday, Willow, at 10. So take care.
Yes. Bye. Bye.